as it's written. The fourth commandment.
Honor your father and mother.
What does this mean?
We should fear one another.
It can be confusing to find a fence you didn't expect. What's a fence doing here? And that's the fourth commandment on this particularly penitential day. The fourth commandment on Ash Wednesday? Come on. Maybe the first, the third, or the sixth. It's easy peasy to expose sin with these. But the fourth? Yes, the fourth. Because you really show the kind of person you are when you're taken off guard before you can cover your true self with a mask. If you've got cockroaches, the best way to find them is to go into a room suddenly. Your suddenness doesn't create them. It only prevents them from hiding. That's the fourth commandment. Bam! It hits you as a parent and or child. And the real depth of the dung you're in is shown by Augustine's dictum that the man who knows the right but fails to do it loses the power to know what is right. And the man who has the power but is unwilling loses the power to do what he wills. But offense doesn't belong here. Pagans disagree. Stoic philosophy called parents second gods appeared on earth. Plato called aged parents living images of God. And Aristotle demanded a godlike honoring of parents. But we think the fence needs adjusting. A confirmand once asked, "Does the fourth commandment apply even when my mom is having a bad day?" Now, if you're a parent, you know what he meant. How many times have you made your bad day your kid's bad day? How unfair. We shouldn't expect love and honor when we're being unloving and unfair. Our large catechism disagrees. Parents, quote, are not to be deprived of their honor because of their ways or their failings. But surely I grow out of the fourth commandment. That's how it is in the world, you know. You reach 18 and you're free of parental authority. Going by this human understanding of authority, the Reformed say, at the age of majority, this commandment no longer applies. Well, do you find an asterisk in your Bible? Honor your father and mother, asterisk, until age 18. If you put one there, you'll put one at the other end too. Honor them until they reach a certain age. Read Exodus 20. The fourth commandment isn't first directed to minor children, but to adults. A youth can't tear down the fence when a parent has a bad day. Adults can't ignore it because their parent is too old. It's under the second table commandments that we squirm the most because they expose our lusting, lying, stealing, and hating. And the fourth, we confess to be among these, the first and greatest. Judaism called the fourth the heaviest among the heavy commandments. Neither Lutherans nor Jews are exaggerating. The Lord defines what he means by holiness by saying, "You shall be holy. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father." With the rich young man, Jesus uses the fourth commandment as his trump card. And Paul makes the fourth commandment stand out, saying, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Not for us, though, right? We don't need and we can ignore this fence. You know the adage, don't tamper with, let alone move or tear down a fence until you know why someone put it up there? God is the someone who put up this fence. Like all the commandments, it does what fences do. Offense warns. The fourth warns parents against failing to fulfill their God-given role of parent, and not just physically, but spiritually. Luther said, before God, if you train them to be first to success in this world, it's the same as if you sacrifice that child to an idol. Children, regardless of age, if you're unwilling to obey this commandment, God will make sure you obey the hangman and the grim reaper. But we're the disciples in the upper room. Jesus says, one of you will betray me, and we're all drop-dead certain that his warning is misplaced. Surely you're wrong about me. But he wasn't wrong about them or us. Commandments like fences also protect. You cross a fence you're sure doesn't belong here, and you might find a bull with an attitude staring you down. Or you leave the protection of a fence and find yourself on the edge of a cliff. The fourth commandment's about the home. The home is where the protecting authorities of church and state come together for the good of the family. There is something divine in father and mother because there's something fatherly and motherly in God. Can't you see both aspects of this in Jesus' handling of Judas in the upper room? A mother might say to her children, one of you did this, and only the child who did it knows, yet his mom doesn't choose to expose him publicly. That's grace. A father might say to a rebellious child, if you're going to do that against my will, you'd better do it quickly, because if you think twice, you won't. So Jesus says to Judas, what you're about to do, do it quickly. Commandments are fences. They warn, they protect, and they guide. An intact fence will always lead you out. It's like a promise. You follow me, and I'll get you back to civilization. You know that obvious adage, we don't choose our parents? Luther too saw this, and therefore sees parents as God's gifts to us. They are God's workshop in which he prepares us for our service to him. Blessings come from being guided by God's fourth commandment. Even though in the upper room the disciples did not believe his warnings and their post-communion talk degenerated into an argument about who was considered greatest by Papa Jesus. Jesus goes way beyond their expectations and says, I give you all a kingdom. There's a kingdom in every single commandment, that every single commandment runs to and from. Within these fences, you're in a kingdom of grace, of mercy, and peace, of feasting and forgiving. This is the truth. But listen to how our large catechism brings us back to the reality of this fallen world and parenting and childing in it. But, I'm quoting the large catechism, but the devil rules in the world. Children forget their parents, as we all forget God. And no one takes thought how God feeds, guards, and protects us, and how many blessings of body and soul he bestows on us. That's why you can't leave out of here besmeared by ashes with the determination, this time it will be different. It's only in Christ that the fourth commandment is a fence of warning, protecting, and guiding. You touch this fence outside of Christ, and its warning will be a zap. Its protection will be a barb that cuts you, and its guiding will be to hell. You want to feel good about being a child? Stop looking in the mirror. Look to Jesus. He was the perfect child. In Christmas and Epiphany, how many times did we see this? Just as we cannot imagine how perfect Adam and Eve had their sexuality totally under their control and at their service, so we cannot imagine how Jesus did not sin as a child in thought, word, or deed. Since he was perfect and his parents were not, he was punished wrongly. You can bet their bad day was taken out on him, and they were unfair, unreasonable, and really didn't understand him. But never once did Jesus backtalk, roll his eyes, or think, I'll show them. Yet, what does Hebrews 5 say? It says enough to break your sinful, childish heart. It says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered prayers and pleas with loud cries and tears to his Father, who was able to save him from death. Although he was the Son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered, becoming the source of eternal salvation. If you go through life with the fourth commandment on your back, as if God the Son did not fulfill it, you will live either resentfully or despairingly. The offense will be nothing but an agitation, an irritation, and eventually a condemnation. But the whole answer isn't just that Jesus was the perfect child who always honored, served, obeyed, loved, and cherished parents and other authorities. No, the other half of that answer is that the perfect Father betrayed his Son. I'm attributing no blame, let alone sin, to the Father. But when Romans 4 says Jesus was betrayed because of our sins, just whom do you think decided that? And on that soul-crushing night in Gethsemane, when Jesus wailed to be spared the cup of suffering due me for my sins against my father and mother and other authorities, whom do you think Jesus is referring to when he says, "See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners"? You know why the very same Greek word is used for what the Father does as what Judas did? Because Jesus didn't deserve betrayal from either. The Father himself had openly declared he was well pleased with Jesus and that he was his beloved Son. Tell me you who have ever put down a beloved pet, didn't you think in some way you were betraying him? And didn't you see that why look in his eyes? Well, that's what went on between the Father and Son, and that's why the Son cries out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" And there's no other answer to that but for us men and our salvation. For the sake of the salvation of us, all of us imperfect, fallen parents and kids, the perfect Father betrayed the perfect Son into the hands of the devil, damnation, and death. Under the law, this is exactly where the fourth commandment is to take every single one of us. But it is not God's intention to leave us there. Neither is it his will that we climb out of that pit by promising to do better, nor to avoid the pit by telling ourselves, "Well, I did the best I could. I did better than so-and-so. At least one or most of my kids turned out all right." You speak, you think, you act that way, and you remain under the law, and it never, ever lets you go. I take that back. You make enough excuses, and you try hard enough, long enough. The devil gives you the illusion that the law has let you go. But hopefully, in dire sickness, and if not then at death, the fourth commandment will charge you like an armed man with murder and judgment in his eyes, and you'll flee from it and your keeping of it. That's where the fourth commandment in Jesus would leave us. I'm not going to heaven based on my parenting, and no kid goes to heaven based on his or her honoring, serving, obeying, loving, or cherishing. We don't get to heaven by how well we keep within the fourth commandment fence lines. We go based on the fact that Jesus did. And the unexpected fourth commandment drives us back to this saving truth. Amen.